Welcome to the Confidently Balance Your Hormones podcast. My name is Dee Davidson, and I'm a hormone health expert, master mindset coach, and multiple wellness business entrepreneur. I'm obsessed with helping you experience hormone balance, confidence, self-love, and live a life full of joy. I know we're about to have so much fun together, so thank you so much for pushing play today. And now let's begin. Welcome to another episode of Confidently Balance Your Hormones. This is your guide, Dee Davidson. And today I have Keri Tepidino. Did I pronounce that correctly?
You did. It looks harder than it is.
And she has all these fancy certifications, HHP. I'm sure she'll tell us what those mean, CCN, CST. She's the number one international best-selling author of the book, One Thought Away. She is also the founder and CEO of the One Thought Away Project, a global company and movement that has influenced more than 250,000 plus people to transform their lives. Keri struggled with low self-esteem, a lack of self-worth, and poor body image, which spiraled into personal battle with an eating disorder. This journey led her to a defining moment in her life where she got to make a decision to continue down a path of unhappiness and poor health, or she could find the freedom and happiness that her soul always craved. Through deep study of personal development, leadership, holistic health, nutrition, Ayurveda, yoga, meditation, breathwork, and a relationship with God, Keri has created a powerful One Thought Away process, which helped her go from rock bottom to rock solid. She is now living her best life, and she never thought it could be possible for her. Her unique process includes mindset, mastery, emotional intelligence, self-love, and believing that with the proper mentorship, community, and strategies, anything is possible. She is a walking example that you are one thought away from having the life you want or not, and is excited to support you to lock in the same understanding for your own life. And this, you know, you really stood out, Keri, because my main brand is Confidently Love Yourself. We're on the Confidently Balance Your Hormones podcast, but my overarching brand is Confidently Love Yourself. And I could relate to a lot of the things I read about you and your process. And I'm excited for you to share your story and share your process with the listeners, because every woman deserves to live their best life. And one of my favorite sayings is, it's your birthright to be healthy and, you know, feel your best. So welcome so much to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, Dee. I know you don't take it lightly who you put in front of your crowd. So honored to be here. I appreciate it.
Yes. Thanks for taking the time. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how long you've been sharing on this topic and how you got here.
Yeah. So I've been in the industry over 20 years. I've said 20 years for a long time now. So I think it's probably 21 plus years I've had my own business. And it probably, like many of your guests, it was like a dark night of the soul that actually brought me to launch my business, have the programs that I have for women. And like that intro said, you know, I was in a really dark place and low self-esteem, didn't feel good about myself, didn't know how to manage my emotions. My emotional regulation was off. My mindset was off. For me, it manifested itself through an eating disorder, emotional eating, body bashing, keeping people at arm's bay, not feeling confident at work. It's when I was working in the corporate world. So promotions bypassed me, you know, pay raises bypassed me. And there was a specific night, though, that really it was what I call my defining moment. There was a few defining moments, but it was a really clear one. I was doing graphic design in the corporate world, and I had a really big project due the next day, and I was super stressed about it. I was nervous about, what is my boss going to think, my peers, my coworkers, you know, did I do a good job? And I remember driving home the night before and my hands are on the wheel. I can even see myself on that part of the freeway still. My hands are on the wheel and I'm
like, defining moment.
Yeah, like, don't stop at the store, Keri. Don't stop at the store, Keri, because I didn't need groceries. But my go-to when I had heightened stress or anxiety or worry is that I would check out, escaping them out with food and eating. And So I pull into the neighborhood and where do I find myself is at the store. And I tell myself, oh, this time it's going to be different. And I'm walking up and down the aisles and I'm putting all my comfort food into my shopping cart. And I pay for it. I get home. I'm putting the groceries away. And I come to that peanut butter jar and I twist off
Oh,
that
yeah.
blue lid, pull back that silver
Oh,
foil,
yeah.
and just one spoonful. But one becomes two, two becomes three, until, my spoon hits the bottom of that jar and my heart breaks, because once again, I've betrayed myself. I've broken trust in myself. And so I take that long walk down the hallway to the bathroom. And at that time, I was bulimic as well. And I try to purge it out, which never actually works, especially with something like peanut butter. But I try to purge it out. And this night was different, though. And I found myself crying on my cold white tile floor. And my heart was racing. And I knew enough about health to know that with my heart racing that much, it meant my electrolytes were imbalanced, which means that my cardiovascular system was now getting challenged. And one of my good girlfriends in college, her mom had died of an eating disorder because her
Oh,
organs
wow.
failed. And so I had a really personal experience of, oh my gosh, if I don't turn this around, I am, it was the first time I really realized, oh my gosh, I'm killing myself. And it wasn't, you don't think of it as killing yourself because it's just like a habit, but a bad habit over time like that has a domino effect. Like my complexion was bad, my hormones were off, my dental work was getting bad, my cardiovascular system, my electrolytes, my gut health, like there's things that were starting to happen.
Sure.
And so as I was on that bathroom floor, I said, okay, you have a decision to make. Either keep doing what you're doing and you are truly killing yourself, or pick yourself up and figure this out and go heal. And honestly, Dee, in hindsight, decades later, in hindsight, looking back, I'm still pretty amazed that in that moment I found the will and the strength to just take at least one baby step in the direction of healing, that then led to me traveling the world, studying with monks, studying with a doctor in India, getting many certifications here back in the United States. And it led me to a really, really deep healing, which then led me to this work that, I've had this company over 21 years now. And so I always say this business birthed itself because it's exactly what I needed when I couldn't find it. And so, now I just feel so blessed that I get to help women. It's not that we help women with eating disorders per se or weight loss per se, but we help them shift how they're thinking and how they're in relationship to their emotions and how they're in relationship to themselves so that they can create any life that they want, whether it's with financing or relationships or corporate or launching their own business or their health or parenting or grandparenting. It's really about up-leveling the woman, like the inner work, the self-mastery work, up-leveling that so that, like you mentioned in our One Thought Away book, you're one thought away. You're one thought away from having your dream life or not. So who do you get to be to create what you really want is our focus.
That's so powerful. And so many of the women that come to me, they have this unhealthy relationship with food. It could be other things too, exercise, spending habits, and they feel desperate and at a loss where they don't know how to take control. So I can see how powerful that this one thought away process can be for people. For you, how long did the eating disorder go on for? How long did you have this? And do you know what it stemmed from?
Oh yeah. So when I was, it usually stems from something from childhood, right? Usually, I mean, it depends on who you talk to and what they've studied, whether it's 0 to 8 years old or 3 to 7. But I think 3 to 7, 3 to 8 years old is pretty spot on with how many women that I've supported at this point. And usually what happens is you're a witness to something, or something happens to you, or you overhear something, and you take it on as your truth. And so for me as a young kid, there was somebody that I looked up to, and it was like I just couldn't get it right. Quit scraping your fork on your plate, pick up your feet when you walk. And I was like, my gosh, if I can't
So
even walk,
heartbreaking.
like as a kid, as a kid, I misinterpreted what was being said to me, and how I interpreted it was, I can't do anything right. I'm not good enough, right? And so then I created situations for myself throughout my whole life to prove to myself, see, you're not good enough. See, you can't do it right. And the eating disorder was just one way that I would try to either escape those thoughts or reduce the stress or ground myself, which obviously all of that backfired, right? And so, but that's how it usually starts, is it starts from something probably, for some people, it's something that's quite traumatic or dramatic and obvious, like a violation, even like a sexual violation or something like that. And for others, it might be something that's more discreet or more subtle that we interpreted as young girls or young children. We interpreted it a certain way and started to define ourselves because of that interpretation. We defined ourselves a certain way because simply we didn't have enough life experience under our belts at that point to know that that wasn't true.
Oh, that wasn't about us, right?
Right.
Makes a lot of sense. So for someone listening and they're saying, "Oh my gosh, this is resonating." What is the first step? Because I know a lot of the women that I work with, I can work on the nutrition and the supplements and the lab work, and I point out to them that it's much deeper. That's not my work though. So if someone's listening and they're thinking, I feel like I'm that person, where do you direct them to start? What's a good place to start?
Yeah, so I actually have a lot of doctors that refer their patients to me and a lot of practitioners because you can give the best nutrition plan or supplement plan, but if they haven't done the inner work, most likely the patient won't do it anyways. Excuse me, or they'll do it for a short period of time, but then they'll quit because they don't think they're worthy or deserving, or I don't have what it takes, or I'm a strong starter but not a strong finisher. Like there's just that old record going. The first thing to do, honestly, the first thing to do is get the right support. And the reason why I say that is because we will, and I will, we work just with women, but what I will say to that is we will keep trying to reinvent the wheel ourselves. Because, but the wheel doesn't need to be reinvented, right? There is already a system and a support system, processes and a support system in place that works. Like, as women, we get to take this big S off our chest for superwoman. We get to take that S off our chest and say, hey, I need support. And realizing asking for support isn't a sign of weakness. I believe it's actually a sign of strength to say, I need help. Like I can't figure it out all on my own, or even if I could figure it out, or even if I do have the answers, I still need support to make sure I follow through. Right? Like for me personally, I always have mentors. My mentors have mentors, right? And so, but in the past, like I was that person that was like, oh, I can read a book. Oh, I can go to a
I got
webcast.
this.
I got this. I can figure this out. I'm a smart girl. This shouldn't be that hard, right? And it's like, it's not about that. And it's not that we're less than, or it's just not about that. It's just God didn't put us on this earth to do life alone. We get it, you know, we are wired, especially as women, we're wired to do life together, not as isolated islands. And it really, honestly, in the long run, it saves so much time, money, and heartache to just allow yourself to get the proper support.
And I know you talk a lot about emotional intelligence, and it's one of my favorite topics to talk about. But how would you describe emotional intelligence, and why is it so important to address it and understand it?
Yeah, so in our community, the way that we explain it, and I know there's different ways to explain it, but we explain it as like the overarching topic or like the umbrella is emotional intelligence, meaning what are emotions? What are they? What are they there for? What do they do? How do they shift? Why do they shift? And then under that is a subcategory called emotional mastery, which is what is my relationship to emotions? How am I personally masterful or not masterful in regards to my relationship to emotions, my understanding of them, how I leverage them, how they trigger me, or whatever that is, right? And so we really take it as a two-prong approach. But the emotional intelligence piece is more of like a broader topic in regards to what is this? And so, like what Albert Einstein teaches us is that everything is energy, including our emotions. So that means including our emotions are energy. So if we know that, and we know that our and what he taught us was that energy can never be destroyed, it just gets transmuted. So if we know that, and we know that depression or anger, some of those emotions that might be lower vibe on the emotional ladder, if we know that they can't just be destroyed, then what do we get to do, or who do we get to be to shift them into even one level up? So you might not go from depression to gratitude in one step, but what if I could go from depression to anger, and anger was just one rung up or a couple rungs up on the emotional ladder? Well, anger would probably feel better to me than depression. So let's go for anger. And then from anger, maybe we go to pessimist. And from pessimist, we start to go to optimist. Okay, great. Now we're halfway up that emotional ladder. We're getting higher and higher into the feel good emotions, right? In a way that our brains can register and make sense of, and in a way that's sustainable. Does that
That
make sense?
makes a lot of sense. So what I'm hearing you say is that we can't just uproot that emotion or that energy and throw it away. We can't, even as much as we might not like it, but we can transform it or transmute it to something. And you don't have to go from being, depressed or having anxiety to being the person that's posting the toxic positivity, right? Every day. You can get there at your own comfort level, sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? And it's another reason why it's good to have a group or a community around you that's also forward focused on their transformation, so that there's the accountability in place, but there's also other, like, an examples in place that, oh, it's not just me. I'm not abnormal, or I shouldn't go crawl under a rock. Like, oh my gosh, other people are also feeling or have felt this way. And if that person, that other person in the community has already experienced this, let me learn from them on how they got through it or how they got out of it, so that I can streamline my process. Right. And so it's because I think when you get into those lower vibe emotions, like depression, anxiety, stress, worry, it can be really lonely if you don't have a community or a good support system or mentorship, or you don't have processes. It can be really destructive, actually. It's easy to go into self-destruction as well if we don't see a way out.
I was thinking that a lot of people just go into isolation and it just gets worse and worse. So seeking support is so important. That's a big piece of my own practice, is that I have a community page on Facebook, the Confidently Healthy Collective, because especially in the holistic health world, not everyone's there. We have come a long way, but people that are looking to do things differently than mainstream sometimes have to go through that feeling isolated until they find their people. So community is so important, especially for women. I completely agree with that.
And you know what? I just got the heartbreaking news a few days ago that somebody that I know committed suicide, and
Oh.
in a really horrific way, actually. And I knew this person. I haven't seen them for years and years and years. I haven't seen them for about 7 years, but would see them off and on for about 16 years. And I remember, like, they always seemed kind of like a loner. I always saw them alone, just them and their dog walking the beach. And when we did talk, you could tell that there was some emotion there that they didn't know what to do with, and they didn't know how. Like, I just didn't know if he had a lot of good support around him. And so if any of our friends are listening to this, and you're feeling a lot of those really deep emotions that feel dark or hard to hold or contain, then, well, first of all, if you're ever at a point where you're thinking of taking your life, call the suicide line, call the suicide hotline, period. Just call it. There are professionals that can give you the support that you need. And then, as well, definitely get into community like Dee and I are talking about. She has her Facebook page. I have a group as well. It's the One Thought Away Project is the Facebook community. But make sure that you're surrounding yourself with conversations like this as much as possible. Forward-focused conversations, conversations that will bring you hope and light and a different perspective, but not just one-off. Like, I think that all of our friends found this episode for a reason. Like, our friends found this episode for, if you're listening, know that you found this for a reason. You called us in, you prayed us in. And then know that this is just one conversation, right? So don't expect everything to change from one conversation. This is just an appetizer to the main meal. This is just a sign from whatever you believe in, God or universe or source, this is a sign that you're on the right track and to go deeper, have these conversations consistently day in and day out so that you're reprogramming your brain and how you think and how you feel about yourself, how you talk about yourself, what you believe is possible for yourself, so that it just becomes a part of your lifestyle. But this isn't just for our friends who might be in a deep depression. This is for all of our friends
Everyone needs this.
listening.
And by the way,
Listening.
it does not end. This is what I tell people. My partner Michael, he cracks me up. I love that he's in alignment and does a lot of this self work himself, but he always says, "D, but you're the sensei." But no, there's no sensei because we're always evolving and working on ourselves. Hopefully, not everyone is, but there's no end point, I tell people. There's no like, okay, I've arrived point. It's connecting and growing with the people who have those same goals for themselves and being authentic and vulnerable, especially with social media. I think sometimes people get into the comparison game or see a little speck into someone's birthday post or their kids are so great at sports, and then they start getting down on themselves, and that's not the reality of it. There's a big piece to being authentic and vulnerable and sharing your story. And I believe that you and I, Carrie, are here doing what we're doing through God. I have a spiritual connection with God, and I believe that we go through the things we go through to share with others and help them get through it, for sure. For
Yeah,
sure.
there was I can't remember who it was, somebody I was talking to years ago, and he said, "I only wish my life looked as good as my Instagram account looks."
Yeah,
And he's
right.
even like, "I wish my life looked that good or was that good as it looks on
Right.
Instagram," and I think yeah, we just there's a whole nother layer now that people work with in regards to social media and the data that we have access to and how everybody can be, create a brand and be an influencer and stuff. And we say the same thing, I will always be the student. I will never stop learning. I am not
That's right.
perfect. Don't put me on a pedestal. My life has its gaps, but the thing that I'm committed to is always closing the gaps. Doesn't mean that I'm doing it perfectly. It doesn't mean that I don't get mad at my kids. Doesn't mean any of that. But what happens when you do this work is that you close the gaps faster and that you catch yourself because your awareness is higher. And so you catch yourself faster. And because you have tools, then you know how to course correct and you know how to adjust yourself
Yes.
faster. Doesn't mean you're doing it
Yes.
perfectly. Doesn't mean
You
any
have
of
more
that.
tools in the toolbox for sure. And you can,
Absolutely.
awareness is such a key word because you become aware. It doesn't mean you're never going to have a negative thought. That's not true. The human brain is wired to have, I forget how many negative thoughts a day, but you catch
80,000, it's
yourself, as you
60 to
said.
70,000 out
Oh
of
my
80,000
gosh.
thoughts a day. The new research shows that out of 80,000 thoughts a day, the normal person will have 60 to 70,000 negative thoughts.
Holy moly. And that's that inner dialogue that we have to, juggle around.
Yep.
You really caught my attention with having self-love written in all of your stuff, with my brand being confidently love yourself, and you talk about cultivating self-love. And so what's the best way you think is to get started on cultivating that?
Well, we have a 5-step process. So let me just share that because that can help our friends. So research shows the brain really needs to hook into a plan. And if it doesn't hook into a plan that we design for it, it'll hook into a plan by default. And then it'll even work to make that plan true for us even while we're sleeping. So we want to be
Okay.
really, really strategic with how we think. So we have a 5-step process called the One Thought Away process. And the first step is mindset. And the reason why it's mindset is because you don't want to have a quick fix. You don't want to be a one-hit wonder. Like, you really want to lock in how you're thinking, your perspective on the world, glass half full versus half empty, so that you don't easily slide back into the old ways of being. So just let me just give something. I don't have it here on my desk, but just let me give a quick tip that people can do immediately. Put a rubber band on your wrist. I didn't make this up. You guys have probably heard this before. Put a rubber band around your wrist. And every time you catch yourself having a negative thought, boom.
Oh, I've done this with my, I was in a sales organization. I used to do this with my salespeople.
Oh, interesting. Like, what would you do with your salespeople?
Well, it was the same type of thing. Cause I think, like you were saying earlier, this work overlaps in all facets of our life. So when people thought like they were afraid of rejection or I'm not good enough or whatever those things were, I had them do it for a few days. They left the meeting with a rubber band on their wrist and they were like, my wrist really hurts.
Yeah. Good. It means that you're growing. It's called growing pain.
Yes.
Yeah. So immediately, like, snap that rubber band, replace it with a positive thought. And it'll probably take more than a few days. You might need a week. You might need a month. But that's something our friends could do right away. And so that's step one. Step two is the emotional mastery piece. Step three is relationship to self. Step four is becoming and staying present. So stop living in the anguish of the past or the fear of the future and the worry of the future. And then step five is learning how to sustain that transformation. So again, you're not some one hit wonder, but really, like, this is just who you are now. And this is your life now. So I know so that's an overarching five steps. And of course there's you go deep and strong within each step. The rubber band is a great place to start. And then what I would also say to our friends here is get into Dee's Facebook group, get into my Facebook group, start surrounding yourself with conversations like this all the time. Reach out to Dee or reach out to me, like, get your people in place in regards to, really the people that you can trust, that you trust to influence how you're thinking and can support you into that next level of your life.
That is great. And I just think it's easier or it seems simpler when you have steps like that laid out, because this can be so overwhelming to know where to start, what's most important, where do I focus? So thank you for laying that out in those five simple steps. Where can people learn more and connect with you from here?
We would love for you guys to go to the onethoughtawaybook.com. Onethoughtawaybook.com is a really, really easy place to start. And that will share some information about the book. That's a number one bestseller. And it's helped just hundreds of people. That'll also get you just looped in with us. So onethoughtawaybook.com. It's a great place to start.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. This was very informative.
Thank you for having me. Well done. We love what you're doing. And to all of our friends here, you know, it doesn't matter where you are right now, your current economic status, current size, shape, political status, whatever. Just know that you can create a shift in your life if you want one.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Confidently Balancing Your Hormones. If you enjoyed today's episode, I'd love for you to share it with a friend and also hit follow at the top of this podcast. If you have a couple of minutes and you can leave a quick review, it will help other women in need find this podcast. You can find me on Instagram at confidently_love_yourself. I would love to stay connected and hear from you.